quick recovery, and give her mobility back. And so thankful. And I got a special request this morning. What do you think of it? Could you say a prayer for Pastor Mike, our young adults pastor? Many of you know Pastor Mike. He's been going through some things, and he believes it might just be medication that they need to switch it, but they're doing some testing Monday, and let's just pray that those tests come back clear. And we don't want to see nothing. We don't want to hear anything. So just be prayer. If you think of it tomorrow, pray for Pastor Mike, and pray that all turns out well. And so we're believing for good things. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here today. Hope you're not already got food cooking for tonight. But if you do, we'll get you out in a timely manner. If you do, you're a sick person. But no, we're excited about this morning, what God has in store for us. And we're excited that you're here with us. Today, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. And the thing about Ephesians chapter 3 is it's amazing scripture, and you're going to hear one of the verses, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I know where we're at. Well, let's start by asking, aren't batteries amazing? Have you ever thought about batteries? I mean, they're amazing what they do. Yesterday, you know, we're working on a car, and I grabbed the impact drill, and I don't think nothing about it. I just throw a battery in there, and it works, right? I mean, I love that. I don't have to think about it. It just works. I don't know how it works. I don't know a lot about batteries, but I know if you charge it up, you put it in the drill, it just works, right? But eventually time comes, sad time, especially with those type of batteries, when they don't work and they're expensive to replace. You know this. You know that winter is not good for batteries. You know that 2-week stretch we had back when it was 1 degrees and all that, batteries suffered, didn't they? It kind of makes you wonder how Tesla runs in those conditions, but that's their story. I like Tesla. I don't got nothing against them, but they're battery powder. And so we went on vacation. We came home, and guess what? The battery's dead, right? We've been gone about a week. The battery's dead. And so we get in the car, and we charge it, and it's going. We take the jumper cables off. I turn on the stereo, and the battery said, no, not today. And it just died, right? It was crazy, and you've experienced the same thing sometimes. You get something running or barely starts, and you maybe turn on the AC or turn on the cereal, and it just dies. It's like there just wasn't enough juice to go there. It's like that little extra bit of power you needed for a radio, that was too much. It's like, that's it. That's all I've got. I'm giving you all I've got. It couldn't handle the extra demands of the radio. And you're thinking, well, that's something little that you just add on to it, right? How many of us feel that way sometimes? Where sometimes you're going, and it's that smallest little thing that somebody adds onto your plate. It's like, boom, I'm done. It's like just the simplest action of turning on the radio. You're like, nope, that's it. I'm done. If somebody asks you one more question, you have to make one more decision today, right? And it's like your battery's like, nope, that's it. That's all I got. And so sometimes we feel like this. We have this inner battery. It gets sucked dry because there's so many things coming at us, and we're functioning in all these capabilities. I mean, I'm called to be a father. I'm called to be a husband. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a student. I mean, I've got all these kings coming at me, and sometimes we just don't have the energy for it. It kind of sucks us dry. And then that one more thing is added, and it's like, that's it. I feel like I just want to shut down right now. I've been there. I know you've been there. I think we've all been there. We can say that. We can all relate to this. I think it's a common experience that most of us feel like that more energy is being required of us than we have. Maybe in our emotional, maybe in our spiritual, maybe in our physical batteries. The good thing is there's a solution. And God has something even better than the Energizer Bunny for our souls. And that's where we get to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. And so if you have your Bibles or you're on your phone or whatever, we're starting in verse 16 because if you go to verse 1, I don't have this for him this morning, Chris, but verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, Paul starts like this. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, And so what he means by that, for this reason, what reason he's talking about back in Ephesians chapter 2, the prisoner of Christ. For this reason. But then he goes on like a Paul rant, where he really talks about him as an apostle, qualification, what he's been through. And so that's why we're not touching on all that. We're going to go to verse 14. And in verse 14, we're actually starting 16. But 14, he starts it back up. And look at this. It says, for this reason. It's like he knew he went on a rant. He goes, okay, let me start again. So for this reason. And so that's where we're starting on verse 16, actually. But it's a prayer. And it's a power-filled prayer that Paul gives us. And I want us to see three ways, and this is one of two of these amazing type of prayers that Paul gives us in Ephesians. But there's three ways that Paul mentioned we are to get strength, we're getting energy throughout this thing we call life. I believe we can learn much from it. And so as I read this, I want you to kind of process, think about ways we get strengthened through this. And so let's read it together. I have it for you on the screen. Ephesians 3:16. It says, we're going to go to 21. It says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Love this verse. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. And so we're going to look at ways we can be strengthened. So maybe you walked in this morning, your battery's drained, you're drained. Now one more thing added. If somebody asks you to do one more thing, you're shutting down. Well, here's ways we can get strength this morning. The first way is this. We're strengthened through his spirit in our inner being. We're strengthened through his spirit in our inner being. Okay, so it says in verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Okay, this is a promise. This is a promise for you and I that we can be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. So when that car battery is dead, what it needs is someone to come give it a jump, doesn't it? What won't work on that car battery? Rest. You let that, you know, like, oh, that car just needs a rest. I really put it through its paces. It just needs a rest. Is that going to help your battery? No. It's not going to do anything for your battery except make it more dead, right? And so we know that's not the answer. It's not. That car's not going to all of a sudden summon some power on its own and say, let's go, we're going to get started, we got to get going. The car's just not going to push through it, is it? It needs an outside source. We need the outside source. We try to push through it. We try to do it on our own. We think, I can handle this. I can do it. Somebody asks you something else, I can do it. Listen, I'm the world's worst at that. I cannot say no. It's not in my vocabulary. And so I understand this. And so when somebody asks you to do something, I say, sure. And then you get alone, you're like, ah. Right? And there's times where you just can't push through. You can't summon up the strength to make it. You need something else. And that's what Scripture's telling us. We have access to something else available to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 reminds us of this. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, look at this, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We have the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have it. It's like if I went to Oklahoma and had a battery trickler. I don't have one, but if I had one, like Why not use it while I was gone? You all have that. You all have it available to you. It's called the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we choose to ignore it. I can do it. I can push through. I can handle this. And we don't take advantage of that. Paul prays that believers in Ephesus would not just receive that seal or deposit, but through the Holy Spirit, you might be strengthened out of its riches and power that it has. How do you get strength? Through the Holy Spirit. Paul has experienced for himself what it is to receive the power of the Holy Spirit when he had nothing else to give. Can I just tell you, you're in a prison in the middle of the night, in the bottom of the prison where everything flows downhill. I don't have to describe anything more. You're there. You need something more than you have, don't you? That's the last place I'm going to be singing praise and worship songs. I guarantee you that. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he tapped into a source that's beyond him. We have access to a source that's beyond us, that is available to us. He wants us to know, he wants everyone in the church to know that this is available to strengthen us. Paul goes on to say what the result of this power at work in our lives should be, and that leads into the second way that God empowers us, that God strengthens us, is number two, we're strengthened through Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. Verses 16 to 17 says this, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power of the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Look at this, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I mean, not only do we get the Holy Spirit, but through this miraculous work in our lives, he creates a place in our hearts that Christ dwells. In terms of speaking, it's a long-term residence. It's not a short visit. There's a devotional book out by Richard Boy Munger, who his devotional name is My Heart, Christ's Home. He wrote an allegory of how he invited Christ to come to the home of his heart. In it, he proceeded, in his story and devotion, he proceeds to show Jesus around different rooms of his heart, talking about how room by room, Christ gently brought changes to what he found. As in the story, the man gave him permission to do so. Munger continued to relate his allegory. At the end of the story, the man actually takes the deed of this house and signs it over to Christ. Instead of seeing Christ as a visitor, this man finally came to a point to give his entire life to put himself in the place of a servant in his own house. I think we need to understand this. The more we can tap into this power of Christ dwelling in our hearts, what that can give you and I. The power that gives us, if we put Christ in the right place, but we like to be the remodeler in our heart, don't we? We like to be the interior designer. We like to do this. We like to say, God, this is my path. God, I have this 5-year plan. If you could just get aboard with this 5-year plan. Or God, I really want to do this. God, I really want to see this happen. The devotional book said it doesn't work like that. The only way we're truly ever going to understand this is if we sign it over to him. Sounds kind of funny being a servant in your own home, but that's the place we got to get to. We want to be strengthened by Christ dwelling in our hearts. Paul goes on to pray that we know and experience the third source of strength God has for us. We're strengthened by being filled with the love of God. In 17b through 19 shows us this, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what it is, breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What's he saying? He said, when we start to truly understand God's heart towards us, that love will begin to fill us and strengthen us for filling our role in God's kingdom. And that's what Paul's praying. Paul prays that they would somehow be able to understand. And it's funny, he's praying that they'd somehow be able to understand. But it says in a verse that surpasses all knowledge. that we really can't understand. It's too big to really grasp. It surpasses knowledge, this love of Christ. That it's so wide it reaches the whole earth and beyond the earth. That it's so long it stretches from eternity to eternity. And it's so high that it can raise both Jews and Gentiles to heavenly places in Christ. It's so deep that it rescues the sinner like you and me from sin. Paul's saying this love that we can't grasp. It's beyond our imagination. The problem is, I think too many people have the wrong ideal about the character of God. Instead of having a loving father, they see a stern schoolmaster ready to get after them when they fall. There's a book called Connecting by Larry Crabb. He writes a story about a friend. He said he had this friend who was raised in an angry family. He said mealtimes were either silent or very noisy. He said, right down the street, there was this old house, had a big porch, a happy family lived there. He said, my friend told me that when he was about 10 years old, he began excusing himself from dinner as soon as he could without being yelled at. And he'd walk down the old-fashioned house down the street, and if he arrived during dinner time, he'd crawl into the porch and just sit there. He'd listen to the sounds of laughter. Larry said, when a friend told me this, I asked him to imagine what it would have been like if the father of the house somehow knew he was huddled beneath the porch, sent his son to invite him in and fix him a meal, set at the table, gave him water to drink. What if he happened to spill the water, to hear the father roar with delight, say, get him more water, give him a dry shirt, and let's enjoy the meal. Crabb goes on to say, we need to hear the father laugh. We need to know the Father's love, not that of a principal. No offense, my wife's a principal. Probably shouldn't use that example. I'll try to switch it up in second service. But that of a ruler, someone who's going to strike down when you mess up. But that of a loving Father, the Father who laughs. You know, one of my prayers for my kids is that they know deep down in their hearts we love them and they're loved, that they're valued. And my heart is to them as a father is love no matter what they do. And this is God's desire for you and I, that we know deep down in our hearts that God loves us. Not that we're scared, we're getting in trouble, we make a bad decision and we're waiting to get smacked or we're waiting for penalties or waiting. His heart is one of compassion, forgiveness towards us. So much so that Christ gave his everything to purchase our salvation. And so Paul prays that the church would know this kind of love that surpasses all kind of knowledge. That this love would fill us even to the measure of the fullness of God. Okay, that's crazy right there. I don't know if we'll ever understand that kind of love and the fullness of God until we step into heaven. But it gives us something to shoot for, doesn't it? Because if we get a hold of this kind of love, if we understand this kind of love, how much He loves us, guess what that does for everybody around us? Come on. It's a testimony to them, isn't it? Because if you have that kind of much love, if you understand how much God loves you, then you can't help but share that with everyone around you. You can't help but shine with that kind of love because you have it. You know how much you don't deserve it. So guess what? Everybody else deserves it. So you're going to shower them with that kind of love. That empowers us. That strengthens us. That builds our strength. So if you feel like you're spiritually, emotionally, physically, batteries are running low in power, we need to understand what God has for you. From His Spirit in your inner being, there's strength. From Christ dwelling in your heart, there's strength. From the love of God filling you, there's strength. intentionally made this short. I'm going to wind down. I want to ask Pastor Mark would come back, Olin, if you guys would come back. Start leading us here in a second. But I don't want to stop there yet, because I got to finish the chapter. Because the last two of the chapter are incredible. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it says, now to him who is able to do more. It says far more. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. That's important for you to see. Forever and ever. Amen. I mean, it says that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can even imagine or ask for. Grab hold of that truth. Grab hold of that promise. Anything you can imagine, he can do more. I mean, how incredible is that? It means that God has much bigger dreams for us than what we have. He wants to accomplish through me and you and through the church more than we can ever dream of. We can't outdream God. I mean, how amazing is that? It means I should be praying more for big dreams that can only happen by faith. The question this morning is, have we stopped dreaming? Have we stopped asking God for the incredible things? I mean, I've been reminded that because of the power God has for me, not only can my batteries be recharged, but God could do immeasurably more than I think is possible through me, through you, through the church. He's given us the resources. Now, to him who is able. What does it say now? To the dynamic one. What is there that God can't do for you? I mean, think about it. Has he ever come up against an obstacle and said, well, what do I do now? No, never. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we can think or ask. Quit thinking small. Be specific. God exceeds our expectations. Think about it. When we ask him to forgive us of our sins, what'd he do? He not only forgave us, he adopted us far more than we could ever imagine, ever think. He not only said, you're forgiven. Hey, let me adopt you at this time. We ask him to meet our needs. He bestows honor. Think about it. Our prayers, our thoughts are so limited. But his power to bless us is not limited. Far more. Do you believe it or not? Far more. Now to him is able to do far more abundantly than all we can think or ask according to the power at work within us. We're part of it. Because he decided to give himself to us sinners. Let me tell you this. If you need grace today, you can have it. If you need what only God can do, you can have it. If you need more grace you dare ask for, you can have. You need more mercy than you can think of, you can have it, because he's able and he's willing to give and give and give. Think about the prodigal son. Ask his father, Father, if I just come back and work as one of your servants, what'd the father do? Put a ring on his finger, put a robe around his shoulders, and commanded a celebration. Far more. Far more than you can imagine. I'm telling you this morning, if you feel stuck in your history, maybe in prison and desires, wondering how you can be other than what you are, what if God gets involved? Far more. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think according to the power working with us, to him be the glory of the church. And not just you and me, but all of us together. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. This is a promise for you and I. All generations. This is a promise. Forever and ever. Amen. And finally, we come down to the one simple thing we add to all that God does. Do you catch it? What we can add to what God does? Amen. Ain't that beautiful? That one little very word at the very end, that's our part. We look at all that God can do and we say, amen. I mean, it's a Hebrew word, basically means yes. That's your part. How incredible is that? I can do that. I can do that. I mean, it means I believe this. It means I stake everything on this. It means I take possession of this for myself. Let that be our heart cry today. If you ever tasted His love, you should say amen, because God's given it to you. All this. And all I gotta say is amen. Why don't you stand with us this morning? This is how I'd like to end our service this morning.